It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in now on living conditions at senior living facilities in Wisconsin and the struggle to staff centers at a level to meet basic needs of residents. Call in with a question or comment about elder care, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Melanie Cairns is managing attorney at Disability Rights Wisconsin. Melanie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this conversation today.
Good morning. And we also have Benita Matthew, who is a health and science reporter at USA Today Network covering northeastern Wisconsin. Benita, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Benita, let's start with you. And your reporting, residents of assisted living facilities near Green Bay have spoken to you about long delays in care. What are they telling you?
Yeah, so staffing has been a problem for a while at assisted living and nursing homes around the state. But recently, just with things that have been going on since the pandemic, people have been telling me that it's really been affecting their care, you know, affecting how they're getting their everyday care, from showering to getting help getting out of bed, to getting their meds on time. There's been a few issues at some facilities.
How low is low? How low are staffing levels at the facilities you've examined?
So it kind of varies, but it's really declined at some facilities. You know, for example, one facility that I was reporting on, actually, they didn't have any trained staff to provide any medication sometimes during night shifts. And so many residents were going without their medications throughout the entire night.
And then they, during the day, they're just in catch-up mode on these meds. Is that right?
Yes.
Melanie, what type of complaints is Disability Rights Wisconsin, your organization, hearing about caregiver shortages in Wisconsin?
Sure. Thanks for that question. And I do want to applaud both Benita and you for addressing this important issue related to the severe shortage of direct support professionals in residential facilities that serve seniors. But I want to make sure I also expand the conversation to say that sadly, the problems related to the severe shortage of direct support professionals or caregivers is not isolated to assisted living facilities that serve seniors. Both seniors and younger people with disabilities are truly facing a crisis in finding qualified direct caregivers to provide the assistance they need to live and work, attend school, and basically just exist in all settings. So this includes nursing homes and assisted living facilities, but we also see this serious impact on individuals who live in smaller group homes or independent settings and rely on home or community-based caregivers that provide services such as personal care, supportive home care, or home health care. So
thank you for making that distinction. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Sure. So just to give an overview of the types of problems that we hear about, and we hear about this every week from people with all types of disabilities in every region of the state. We hear about individuals who are medically ready to discharge from a hospital, but unable to discharge due to lack of open beds in a skilled nursing facility or rehab facility, or no open beds in the region where they want to be, or no open bed that can meet their medical needs. We have observed an increase in both the number and severity of deficiencies we see in both skilled nursing facilities and assisted living facilities. And many of those involve resident abuse, neglect, serious rights violations, and we see these being directly related to staffing shortages. So things like Benita was saying, delays in administering medications, but also delays or lack of receiving assistance with activities of daily living, such as reduced access to showering, to toileting, meals being delayed, delayed assistance with repositioning or transferring, for example, from bed to wheelchair. delayed responses to call lights, reduced access to therapeutic care, such as physical therapy or occupational therapy. And we also see a lot of people who are stuck in a more restrictive setting type than what they need. So people who are sort of stuck in a skilled nursing facility or an assisted living facility and unable to move back to a more independent environment, such as, their own home or a small group home or their own apartment, because there is a delay in getting in-home equipment and in-home care workers.
I think what you're laying out here is that facility staffing levels or direct support professionals, is directly tied to outcomes and health and well-being of residents and quality of life, and in circumstances perhaps life-threatening. How do you see those connections?
Absolutely. We hear reports about individuals with serious disabilities who, because there are no caregivers to come in and provide help with those basic needs, helping people eat, helping them transfer from bed to wheelchair, helping that, providing transportation in the community, help with grocery shopping and household chores, medication administration, and healthcare needs at home, that we get calls where people are told, "Well, my worker didn't show up, and the only option I was given was to call 911, for example, or the only option I was given was I need to move to a nursing home or I need to go to the hospital."
Melanie Cairns, managing attorney at Disability Rights Wisconsin. We have Benita Matthew as well, health and science reporter at USA Today Network, as we look at the quality of care at senior and assisted living facilities and staffing levels with direct support professionals. You can join in the conversation. Call in with a question, a comment, 800-642-1234. Benita, turning back to your reporting, you reported out the story of 91-year-old Shirley Holtz, and Shirley had dementia, was dismissed from a facility after being there for 5 years. Why was that?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So Shirley lived at Emerald Bay Retirement Community, and earlier this year in February, 15 residents, including Shirley, were told that they would no longer be able to live there because they were all on Medicaid, which means that Medicaid was reimbursing their costs for living at the facility. And because of inflation and rising costs, the provider said that it was no longer feasible to, keep letting them stay there, and so they had to find new homes. And so unfortunately, that meant that they only had about a month to find a new home.
And so, in terms of moving from one facility to another, you talked a little bit about transfer trauma. What happens there?
So Shirley actually found a new home close to the Green Bay area, and what actually ended up happening was her family started noticing a lot of changes and different moods she was having in the first few weeks after she moved. They noticed that she started kind of losing weight, and she stopped eating, and she wouldn't really drink her water. And eventually, actually, sadly, she did end up passing away, and her family say it was a result of what you mentioned, transfer trauma, because of just the stress and the anxiety of finding her new home. It really affected her health, which actually, when I talk to a lot of advocates, they say it is kind of a common thing when they have to relocate, even if it's relocating to another room in the same facility. But in this case, Shirley had a lot of changes that really impacted her.
And you said it was a matter of just several weeks where the decline was so rapid after the transfer to a new home.
Yeah, it only, I think, within 3 weeks of her moving, Shirley ended up passing away, unfortunately.
You mentioned the state's Medicaid program that's created for elderly and adults with disabilities, family care. It's called. Are facilities struggling to keep up with rising costs and what family care pays out?
Yeah, so some advocates I've talked to have said that it's been a trend that they've been noticing that just the way that family care works is that recently the Medicaid reimbursements for providers has just been too low sometimes. So that means that it's not really financially affordable for providers to retain their Medicaid residents. And so sometimes in this case of Shirley, there are some providers who just have to relocate their residents.
Benita Matthew is health and science reporter at USA Today Network covering northeastern Wisconsin. Melanie Cairns, managing attorney at Disability Rights Wisconsin, that's a nonprofit advocacy organization. You can join the conversation about elder care. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We discuss services at senior living facilities and in-home care and how staffing shortages are affecting Wisconsin's aging adults. As complaints to the state health department are rising to numbers not seen in recent years, that reporting from Benita Matthew, a USA Today Network health and science reporter who stays with us. And Melanie Cairns is here, managing attorney at Disability Rights Wisconsin. You can add your comments to the discussion. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Nancy in Madison. Nancy, hi.
Yes, good morning. I'm a member of NAMI, and I am wondering whether we'd have an improvement in the situations that are being discussed if the state of Wisconsin legislature would permit our taking Medicaid expansion. What effect might that have or not have?
Nancy, thank you for that question. Melanie, go ahead.
Well, thanks for that that very important question, Nancy. That is not something I came prepared to speak about today because we were focused more on the direct caregiver crisis. But the basic answer to the question is that if Wisconsin were to expand Medicaid, we believe that Medicaid services would be improved, including the services we're talking about today.
Do you think, Benita, as well, from your reporting and people you talked with, that it would make a difference in direct care to residents if Medicaid expansion happened in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so I agree with Melanie. I would have to do more reporting on that to answer that more specifically. But generally, when I have talked to people in different associations, they have said that an increase in funding would certainly benefit residents and really impact their care on that level.
Melanie, what happens when someone who needs care at a facility is dismissed? We've also heard it as an eviction as well. Go. What do you see happening there?
Sure. So just to provide a bit of background, in Wisconsin, there are a variety of residential setting types with different licensing and certification standards. So we have nursing homes or skilled nursing facilities, and then we have assisted living facilities, which include community-based residential facilities and 3 and 4 bed adult family homes and residential care apartment complexes or RCACs. And each one of those, and then we also have what are called certified 1 and 2 bed adult family homes. And each one of those setting types has their own rules for what type of notice the individual needs to receive, like what type of notice the facility needs to provide before a resident can be involuntarily discharged, as well as the reasons that a resident can be involuntarily discharged.
And they have to be able to go you know, when it is a dismissal, if I understand if it takes more time to find a new place, it is a decision that the family and the care facility and the resident has to come together on an agreement. Is there more flexibility in the time it takes to be able to find that new facility?
That's a bit of a difficult question for me to ask, for me to answer, because services in Wisconsin, you know, for all people should be individualized and person-centered, you know, yeah, focused on the person's needs and the person's individual choices about where they want to live. So yes, that is the process that is supposed to happen when an individual either wishes to move from one place to another or is sort of forced to move with not as a result of their choice. There is supposed to be a process in which the important people to, you know, get together and have a conversation about what the individual is looking for in their next living facility. Unfortunately, due to the types of problems we're talking about with facilities closing on short notice, without the time it takes to really build a good have a good plan for transition to a new facility, that does result in the transfer trauma that Benita was speaking about, because people end up needing to being told, for example, there are no open beds in the county in which you want to live, or this is it, you know, you need to take this sight unseen, because that's the only place that will take you. We've heard stories about individuals who were, the one facility they were living in was closing. They needed to find a new facility, and their managed care organization or health insurance company or case manager contacted, you know, dozens or even over 100 facilities before being able to find one that had an open bed.
Melanie Cairns with us, managing attorney at Disability Rights Wisconsin. Benita Matthew, health and science reporter at USA Today Network. Benita, in May, the state health department extended this ban on admissions to a Green Bay facility after two residents had died from unexplained injuries that were not investigated by the provider. And the owner of the facility is appealing that decision. How has the department responded to deaths at assisted living facilities throughout the state?
So at Reflections in Green Bay that you're referring to, they did appeal, and DHS came back with a decision to lift the ban to allow them to take on new residents, and found that the two people who were injured, their injuries were not actually the cause of their death. So in this case, it is a little bit different because they did appeal and found different findings. But yeah, I think it just depends on the severity of the investigations that DHS does, that kind of determines what they find.
And you've been reporting, there's this ongoing backlog of inspections at facilities. How severe is this backlog?
So currently DHS doesn't have a backlog for any of the complaints that have come in to their highest level, because they conduct their investigations based on the level of severity that the complaints shows at the facility. But yeah, currently there are complaints coming in, and there are a few complaints that are listed as overdue, which means that they still have to do an investigation and have inspectors come into the facility to check the place out. So there is still currently an ongoing list of things to look into.
Let's go to Monica in Sheboygan. Monica, what comes up for you?
Hello?
Hi, Monica. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Hi, I am aware of the shortages of caregivers in all areas, and I'm so glad you're reporting this so that the that America starts becoming more aware of this. But my question is, what are we doing to actively appease this? What, how can we get this rectified? And one thought that I have is immigration. Is there anything...
And Monica, we're short on time. I just want to toss this to Melanie here quickly as we start to wrap up. Go ahead, Melanie, on what is moving right now.
Sure, I'll do my best to answer that question briefly. Disability Rights Wisconsin, both independently and as a partner of the Wisconsin Survival Coalition, supported and recommended a number of provisions in the most recent state budget that would have simultaneously improved wages and benefits and work conditions for direct support professionals in all areas, as well as provided additional resources to the Department of Health Services Division of Quality Assurance to address, you know, that backlog and their ability to better investigate these allegations and concerns about abuse and neglect.
We have to stop it there, but thank you both for joining us. Melanie Cairns, Managing Attorney at Disability Rights Wisconsin. Benita Matthew, Health and Science Reporter at USA Today Network, covering Northeastern Wisconsin. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.